I've heard it said that people don't always read the bulletin, and I can tell you that the children ages 3 through grade 3 do. If there's any left that haven't already left for Children's Church, you are dismissed now. Thank you, Ben, for reading the scripture. This story is one that is often in my head, and let's begin by exploring it together first, and then I'll come back to why I feel like God keeps putting it in my head. In verse 12, we see that the widow knows of her reality, both present and future. She is desperately poor, and she and her son will soon die. The fact that the area was experiencing a drought suggests that others she interacts with were in similar dire straits. Her reality is not only certain to her, it also makes sense to her because it reflects the climate around her, the experience of society at large. In verse 13, Elijah responds to her certainties with the statement that is so often repeated in Scripture, "Do not be afraid." He follows this by asking that she provide bread to him first, prior to providing it to her and her son, and gives the ridiculous sounding promise in verse 14, "The jar of flour will not be used up, and the jug of oil will not run dry." I can imagine the woman thinking, "I've been poor for a long time. I know how this works. And now with the famine, it's much worse. I just told you that I don't have enough. Now you're suggesting that I not only have enough, but I also will have enough? It doesn't make any sense." And yet the widow did as Elijah instructed her. This woman was extremely generous. First of all, she was already willing to go and fetch water for him, and she asked nothing in return. Because of the drought going on, some commentators suggest that this water could have literally been for sale, and here she was, ready to get it for him freely. Then her extravagant generosity and faith continued as she shared the last of her bread-making supplies with Elijah. And the result was as promised. Yet another story of faith rewarded. This was no less miraculous than the text that immediately precedes it, where Elijah was fed by ravens. In so doing, this miracle, God provided for the woman too. As he sent her the need, that need named Elijah, he also met her need, the need of her and her son. By serving him, she was blessed. This particular text tells us of the material blessing that she received. If we read on, we'd see additional blessing. Service brings blessing. And you heard that pointed out today in our mission moment, too. Today's scripture is a story of faith, a story of God's providence. It's a story I often talk about and I more often think about because God long ago planted in my mind the idea that for the church, people are the oil. Earlier this spring, I was talking with someone who was sharing with me about her difficulties finding volunteers to meet a particular need here at church, and I replied with confidence, "The oil never runs out. Remember the widow and the oil? She always had enough. The same is true for our church. God has equipped this church with the right people to fully staff the ministries he wants us to accomplish." How would our view change if we start with that belief? I think it changes the way we look for things. So for the youth banquet, I made tiramisu, and I had never made tiramisu before, and I'd probably do some things different if I made it again, but it required me to find ladyfingers, and I went to the grocery store to look for ladyfingers, never bought them before, never actually saw them before, and I went to the cookie aisle, and they're not there. And I went to the international foods aisle, and they're not there. And I asked this stock boy, who clearly would have no idea, and he said, "They're in the bakery." And I thought, really? It's not like this place makes them. But okay, whatever, I will go look in the bakery. And I took a little spin around the bakery and, you know, of course, didn't find them. And the bakery person saw me looking lost and said, "Are you looking for something?" And I said, "Well, yeah, I'm looking for ladyfingers." And she said, "Oh, yeah, we have them here in the bakery." Well, I was more willing to trust her. So I began looking again with a little more determination. And what do you know? I found the ladyfingers. When I found those lady fingers, I didn't have any more information than I had before. She didn't even tell me where in the bakery they were located, but I now had the confidence that they were there. Prior to that, my searching was kind of haphazard. It was kind of unenlightened. It wasn't really all that passionate. Once I knew they were there, I wasn't leaving till I found them. And I did. Sometimes it's easier to find something if we actually believe it's available. By assuming the people are here, it changes the way I look at ministry needs. It also helps me to recognize that each person has different gifts. And I want to share a few stories where God has made that abundantly clear to me. On Tuesday afternoon of this week, Matt Berge and Trang Ryu and I, we went to Mission Central. Thanks to Randy Barr, who introduced us to Mission Central. This place is amazing. We went to Mission Central because Mission Central allows us to select from the things they've received as donations to provide as prizes for our guests, both children and adults. And we left there with a pickup truck full of stuff, with Trang's vehicle full of stuff, and we're getting ready to leave there, and we've got charcoal grills, and we've got tableware, and we've got toys, and we've got patio umbrellas, and we've, you know, just lots and lots of things, craft kits for kids and everything. And as we're getting ready to leave there, I'm thinking two things. One is I'm thinking how delighted our guests are going to be when they find they can take these sorts of things home. We look for things that encourage creativity, togetherness, and activity. And we had found it. The other thing I'm thinking is, that is a lot of stuff. I don't do stuff. Like, I do people, I do data, I don't do stuff. Stuff gets disorganized and stuff gets lost in my world. So to me, this seemed overwhelming. And I looked up and Trang was closing the door on her full vehicle and she was smiling and she said, I am so excited. She said, Julia and Jack and I had so much fun going through all this stuff last year and seeing what was there and getting it all organized and how do we set it out for the people. And I was just dumbfounded. Like, people can get energized about stuff? That had not even occurred to me. And it was a reminder that God gives different gifts and different interests and different skills and different passions to different people. And you know, if I had been soliciting for that job, I would have said, we got this job we need done, and it's a really big job, and it's a pretty hard job, and it's clearly not going to be much fun, but will you do it? And yet, that way of soliciting wouldn't have even been accurate for Trang. Also, probably wouldn't have been successful. But it wouldn't have even been accurate for Trang. Perhaps we need to remember that first we begin by asking God, who do you have in mind to meet this need? And then when we go to that person, we ask in a way that recognizes that God has already equipped that person, not in a way that apologizes for asking them. Another example of this is the incredible amount of time that Kara spends writing quizzing questions. I believe there were something like 181 pages typed quizzing questions this year, okay? We're talking thousands upon thousands upon thousands of quizzing questions. Or the time that Caleb spends putting together stats so that when they get to the meet, they know who needs to sit where to go against which players and how they're going to do this. These things, and I think they share each other's jobs to some extent, but that's who I imagine doing these things. These tasks are ones that I would describe as big and as difficult and as not even fun. And then I see them with our kids, and I see how they love them and how they spread their passion about God's word. And the task is big and difficult, but their energy about quizzing and about youth and all that goes with it is genuine. The oil never runs out. And our teens are deeply blessed by what you do. You make a big difference. Thank you. The oil never runs out because Trang and Julia and Jack like stuff. And the oil never runs out because Kara and Caleb are passionate about quizzing. Sometimes we need people who are truly passionate about the tasks, In other cases, we need people who are just plain obedient and willing. When I thought of the oil not running out, the image that came into my head was the one where I come up the hill, and this has happened on a couple occasions, come up the hill in the middle of the week to do some work in my office, and I find Lamar Widmer out front digging up dandelions. You didn't know I was going to say that. I don't know if he's gifted in this area. I don't know if he's even passionate about it, but I know he's willing. And this is one example of someone who just quietly identifies a need and meets it with no fanfare. Our church has lots of those people. The oil never runs out. And roles like this exist for every person here, every one. A few years ago, when Florence was in her upper 90s and she was in the hospital and she had been really quite ill, I showed up one morning to visit her and she looked at me and she was dumbfounded. She said, "Huh, I thought for sure I was going to meet Jesus last night. And I'm still here. Do you think there's something I'm still supposed to do here?" And I said, "Well, Florence, maybe there is. And many of you can attest to the way that she ministered to you in the last few years of her life. Yes, Florence, there was something you were still supposed to do here. And one of those somethings was remind us all that we are never too old to join in God's work." Ben Frederick told me a story about one example of the way people join in God's work, an example that can be done at any age. He wrote this: "The oil that has never run out in my experiences at Slate Hill is prayer. There are so many people over the years that have mentioned that they are praying for me, for my family, praying for our efforts in Haiti. The comments seem to come at the most needed times, though the person probably doesn't realize it at the time. Those who regularly pray for others are the oil that fuels the flame of encouragement and strength." Thank you, Ben, for sending the story. This reminds us that we each have a role to play. Recently, I was in a conversation with Ed Fleischer. He and Pat serve in the nursery. And he said, "It's a spokes in the wheel kind of thing, Joy. I'm not going to preach a sermon or lead singing, but this is something I can do." They are willing and obedient. And in a unique way, they are rewarded. Ed said that he and Pat serve in the nursery partly just because it's a great way to stay connected to the young families and to help them to know people that they might not otherwise get a chance to learn to know. The chance to learn to know people, a sense of purpose and being needed, the satisfaction of being part of something bigger. Like the woman who served Elijah, Ed and Pat are also being blessed by their service. The thing is that we have to identify that to which God is calling us. As far as we can tell, the woman didn't feed the whole neighborhood, though that would have been noble. I mean, after all, if the oil isn't going to run out, why isn't there a line out her door? As far as we can tell, she didn't also provide new clothes for Elijah, though that would have been noble too. She did that to which she had been called, and she did it well. We as a church are not called to everything. And if you've been in meetings with me, you know that we often begin by rereading the purpose statement for that particular group. And we almost always begin with prayer, asking for God's direction. I could name a half dozen things that we've either eliminated or cut back on here at Slate Hill in the last few years. And many of these have been met with appropriate grief. But the only way to accomplish what God is calling us to do is to stop trying to do the things that God is not calling us to do. I'm thankful for a congregation that can struggle with discerning that together and can grieve the losses that come with it with a faithful eye toward the opportunities that are now made possible. In other cases, old ideas that were rejected before resurface in new ways. Story about that. At several points, the Hilltop Funfest planning team had said, it would be nice to have like a coffee house kind of place. You know, somewhere that's a little quieter, a little more chilled out for people that don't need all the excitement and noise. Maybe some quieter music. That would be really nice. And every time we would get that far and stop, We just couldn't find the energy for it, or the space for it, or the volunteers for it, or the direction. It just would only get that far. Well, Lee Rowland didn't know we had had that discussion. He wasn't on the core leadership team at that point. So he had no idea. And he came to me and he said, "You know, I got this vision. I'm really passionate about sharing scripture with people. I'm really passionate about finding the opportunity to enter into deep conversation with people, finding the chance to pray with people. I got this idea. I'm thinking we need like a cafe, like a place to serve coffee and just have it be a quiet place." And he began to describe it, and I was like, this is almost what we were thinking about before, but we weren't framing it the same way Lee was framing it. And as Lee was being obedient to the calling that God was putting on him, it transformed into a new thing that was very doable, that was really just perfect. And wonderful things happened in that cafe last year, both for the guests who came, and there were many of them, some who walked out with scripture in hand, some who experienced those deep connections, some who just needed a quiet place to rest. It was also valuable for the people who served there. And that so often happens. We see that in the way Ed talks of learning to know the young families, or in the excitement Trang shared of her and her kids working together in the prizes. We see that in the connections and relationships that are formed while those sewing needles are going in that sewing group that you just heard about earlier in the announcement time this morning. Don't forget the bake sale after church, okay? Don't forget. We see that in friendships that are formed when we all go to MCC together and work side by side. We need to not only think about the fact that there happen to be these needs in our congregation that somebody's got to fill. We need to also think about the fact that there happen to be these gifts in our congregation that we need to find a way to use. As we move further into this summer, we're going to be coming back and talking to you about that again, Lynn and I both together, and saying, what is it that God has gifted you with? How is God calling you? Because I believe you are the oil. If we are to be people who are living our faith, then we are to provide opportunities for each one to find what it means for them to serve. My belief is strong that God has already and is continuing to provide the very people in this congregation that are needed to do the work to which he is calling us. Frederick Buechner, who's a Presbyterian minister and theologian, has a quote that many of you have heard in different versions. He says it this way: the place God calls you to is the place where your deep gladness and the world's deep hunger meet. The woman's oil was sustained only in its pouring out. The woman's need was met only because God sent a need to her to meet, that need named Elijah. In serving him, she and her family were blessed. In pouring out her oil, the promise became a reality. It did not run out. Today, I shared but a few stories that demonstrate this oil we call people. The oil never runs out. God has and is placing the very people here that are needed to complete the work he wants Slate Hill Mennonite Church to do. You are the oil. And whether you are brand new here today for the very first time, or whether you were carried in as a baby, I believe you're here for a reason. God wants you to serve and be served. God wants you to bless and be blessed. Young or old, God knows that you are a critical ingredient in his bread. And because you are part of it, the aroma of God's love can fill our entire community. The oil never runs back. We'll be back later in the summer to find out exactly what kind of oil you are. I look forward to the adventure.